Talk Central, the business technology podcast brought to you by the editors at techcentral.co.za. My name is Duncan McLeod. I'm here with Candice Jones. Hi, Candice.
Good afternoon.
Unfortunately, this is one of the last times I'm going to be saying good afternoon to you.
Indeed it is.
Candice, I'm afraid, has decided to move on and move, in fact, out of the world of journalism.
I have. I've crossed over to the dark side.
The dark side, indeed. I'm not sure your new employer will like you saying that, but Candice is going into the corporate communications business at one of the operators, and she's leaving Tech Central, I'm very sad to say, at the end of this month, after almost a year here.
Yeah, at the end of this month, indeed, it will have been a year, and it's been an exciting year, you know, watching Tech Central grow to what it is now, and being a part of that has been the most unbelievable experience. I've really enjoyed myself here, and I really enjoyed getting to know our readers as well with our fun quarterly events, and it's just been great. I couldn't have asked for a better position.
Yeah, well, I'm definitely going to miss you around here. The site has grown in leaps and bounds over the last year. We're just looking, in fact, just before the show, we were looking at the latest stats on effective measure, and we've really picked up a lot of traffic, so it's looking good.
We're looking very strong at the moment, so it's good. It's nice to leave on a high note, I think.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's sad news.
But you're still here for a few more weeks, so do a few more podcasts before we disappear and break a few major stories.
With any luck.
But the good news is that a chap called Craig Wilson is going to be joining us on the 1st of June. I met Craig the first time about 2 weeks ago, and I'm very impressed with him. He's got the right credentials, and he's enthusiastic. He understands technology, and I think he's going to make a valuable impact on the Tech Central brand. So I'm looking forward to welcoming Craig here on 1 June. In the meantime, you can check out Craig. He's on Twitter at Craig Wilson, so give him a follow there. And he's kindly agreed to come in next Friday to join us on this podcast. So we'll introduce him to all of you next Friday afternoon.
Must admit, I'm a little bit jealous, but best of luck to Craig. He couldn't have chosen a better job.
Great, cool. Okay, well, let's get on to what we're supposed to do in the show. Let's talk about technology news and what's been happening in the week. And without doubt, I think the biggest story this week is the news about VOD TV, video on demand TV. It's a new television operator, effectively, that's going to be launching on the 1st of September. I've just come from seeing Oscar Dubé, who's the CEO of Southtel, which is the company that owns VOD TV. I think they pronounce it VOD TV, not VOD TV. I'd have to check that. But really interesting service. They're well down the line in their planning here. They've got the decoder order in. They've got investment from a French technology company which has come on board, and they're going to be launching. They're going to be launching PVRs, HD PVRs, and offering what are called subscription. VOD and transactional VOD. In English, that means you're going to pay a monthly subscription fee. They say it's not going to be over 200 Rand a month. New content is delivered to your decoder's hard drive every week. You also have the option of purchasing the very latest movies and TV shows. And they're talking about getting the content before traditional pay TV broadcasters. So it's really going to up the competition in this space. Of course, MultiChoice is also strongly rumored to be planning to introduce a transactional VOD service called Box Office,
yeah.
And I think that's going to be coming sometime this year. So no doubt MultiChoice will be stepping up or perhaps looking at this looming competition and speeding up its rollout of Box Office. Don't be surprised if Box Office arrives before 1 September wins.
I don't doubt it. But this exactly speaks to what we were speaking about last week when I was watching the Royal Wedding. That the broadcasters have to come to the party and bring something to the table that doesn't require me to wait. I don't want to be served up my weekly dish of you know, series and movies and have to wait for them. I would like to be able to buy them when and how I choose and watch them when and how I choose. And I think that bringing a video-on-demand player into the market is going to definitely push other broadcasters to compete, but definitely a fantastic idea. And I'm looking forward to seeing how they actually structure the subscription service, because that will be, I think that will make or break the business in terms of what it offers in the subscription space.
What's interesting is I've really had a chance to look at the decoder, at the set-top box, I think you should technically call it a PVR, and played around with the remote control, and it's really cool. It's got a 500 gigabyte built-in hard drive, The remote control is very well designed. On one side is a conventional television remote control. You flip it over, it's got a full QWERTY keyboard. It feels very comfortable in your hands. And the box supports access to the internet, so you can plug in an Ethernet cable at the back to get online, or you could plug in a 3G modem, and they're hoping to bundle this product with some of the mobile operators and sell through the mobile operator channels. So you simply plug in your 3G dongle in the front and you've got access to the internet on your TV. It looked and worked really, really well. They've got services like Facebook and Twitter and all these sort of things, access to web-based email, just access to the web generally. And it looks really good. And you could plug in Ethernet cable into your DSL modem, and off you go. You can watch YouTube, do whatever you want.
Fantastic. And what was the quality like in terms of the things like YouTube, actual internet access? What does the quality look like? Because often I find that when I try and access the internet through my TV, the quality is quite low.
The user interface of the device looks amazing. It's very well designed. I think it's quite a mature product. It's being used by a number of operators across Europe. So a lot of effort has clearly gone into the design of the thing. The remote control, you can see, is very well designed. Too often I find remote controls that are... I've got the Top TV remote control here, and that's an example of not much thinking that's gone into a remote control. It's almost impossible to find what you're looking for. You have to stare at the remote control for 30 seconds before you could find the volume button, designing remote controls, I think, is almost an art form.
I'm sure it is.
The DSTV remote control is very good. You don't even have to look at it. You know where to press buttons and that sort of thing. A lot of thought's gone into it, and clearly a lot of thought has gone into this new product. I'm impressed. It's great specs. I'm going to be doing a big piece on exactly what it is, what the decoder technology is, who's manufacturing it, what it'll do, etc. And that'll be up on Tech Central, if not this afternoon, then Monday morning. Impressive stuff. You can plug in an external hard drive into the USB for extra storage capacity. So if 500 gigabytes isn't enough for you, or you can just plug in a 3 terabyte external into the system. It's full HD, except where the programming is supplied in standard definition, because not all content is HD enabled. It has a DVB-S2 chip in it, which is backward compatible with DVB-S. It's using the same satellite as MultiChoice uses for its DSTV service, so you're not going to have to install a second dish. You just have to put an extra LMB on your dish. You're going to be able to hot swap out the DVB-S card at a future date and install a DVB-2 T2 receiver. They haven't put that in initially because the spec isn't completed. They haven't got the complete spec yet from the standards body, South African Bureau of Standards.
Yes.
They haven't got that spec yet, so they're still waiting for that. But you'll be able to plug in a DVB-2 receiver into the device, and they expect that'll cost in the region of about $15.
Well, for those of our listeners who don't know the significance of that, when terrestrial migration from analog to digital television happens over the next couple of years, we'll be using DVB-T2 as our basic standard for broadcasting for terrestrial TV in digital. So this decoder will effectively then allow you to watch those channels as well.
That's right, and you'll be able to record those channels. It'll act as a PVR for the terrestrial broadcasts. In the interim, you'll still be able to get all the free-to-air channels because they're also broadcast through satellite. The Centec Vivid platform, the DSA, SABC, ETV, and a few others are broadcast through the same Intelsat 17 satellite. So it's not a case of you won't have access to terrestrial if you buy this device and you don't happen to have DSTV or Top TV. You can still watch those terrestrial channels and you can record them.
Oh, that's fantastic. I mean, I'm looking forward to seeing exactly what they come up with in terms of a product offer when they launch. It's going to be great.
It's a great development. The Oscar Dube, who runs this company, I'm a very smart guy, and ex-Ericsson. He helped launch MTN's networks in a number of countries, in Swaziland, Rwanda, and Uganda, if I remember correctly. A real entrepreneur, he's currently working out of his garage at home. It's a real startup situation. It's the sort of thing you'd expect to see in Silicon Valley. Hewlett Packard started in a garage, and this guy's starting in a garage, and very industrious and getting things done. And I think this is going to add an interesting competitive element to our television landscape here in South Africa.
Well, it had to happen at some point. I honestly didn't expect it to happen this quickly, but good to see it happening sooner than later, and getting South Africa on board with a video on demand services is a basic, you know, allowing people to change their viewing habits.
Yeah, I'm sure that you know, with broadband prices coming down and broadband fiber networks proliferating in the next couple of years, we'll see interactive VOD services on offer from broadband providers as well.
Absolutely,
I'm sure that's coming.
Absolutely. There are rumors that some of the broadband brand providers are looking at that anyway.
So. Yeah. There've been some rumors around that Netflix may be coming to the South African market, but I haven't been able to turn up anything on that yet. But the rumors are still sort of around that Netflix may be considering South Africa as well.
Well, rather a South African entrepreneur than Netflix, if you ask me.
Foreign investment's good as well, so you know, get as many players as possible into the market. It's good for consumers.
It's true.
It's good for consumers. But yeah, it's as I say, I'll get a really detailed piece of this technology and this service up on the site in the next couple of days, if not even today. Staying with TV, Top TV is a year old this year. They were the first competitor to, and still the only, as far as I know, competitor to MultiChoice and DStv.
Yep, they are in fact the only competitor to MultiChoice and DStv at the moment in terms of the pay TV space. They are a year old today. As you remember, when they first came out, they came out with quite a few hiccups and wobbles with when they weren't expecting as many subscribers to sign on in the first weekend that did, and they ended up having big troubles with their call center and installations were backlogged and all sorts of troubles. But they've been meandering on since then, and they now turned a year old, and they're celebrating that with some specials. But they've had other issues which they've had to deal with. I get the impression that advertising sales aren't as high as they wanted them to be. You know, it's a revenue generator and very important. And as such, they've pushed out things that we would have seen this year, things like PVR decoders for them and high definition channels, which Vino Govender, the CEO of On Digital Media, the owner of Top TV, last year was saying was a top priority for the company because people are demanding the service. So that's interesting that they're pushing that out to next year as opposed to this year. You know, they're doing okay. They seem to be doing all right.
They've got with the inverted commas well over 200,000 subscribers now.
Yeah, they wouldn't divulge the actual figures, saying that those figures will most likely be released next month when they launch a few new products. But we'll wait and see. Well over 200,000 subscribers. I remember when they launched, they were talking about 200,000 subscribers to break even on the business. So if they've got well over that, then they might well be making profit.
Yeah. I think they're lacking the big issues. They lack live sport content. It's just really been sewn up by their competitor. And I think anyone coming into this market is going to have that difficulty. Chatting to Oscar Dubé at VOD TV, he says that they're planning to have discussions with MultiChoice and Super Sport about getting access to content. It'll obviously be delayed content because it's a VOD service, push VOD service. But you know, they are talking to them, so they realize the importance of getting access to sport. But whether whether Super Sport will give any of those rights to them remains to be seen. One of these days, I'm sure one of these prospective pay TV operators is going to take this issue up with ICASA.
Well, I mean, it has to happen at some point, because right now that's pretty much DStv's only competitive advantage. I mean, Super Sport is a fantastic product and pretty much dominates the sports market in broadcasting. And I know that SABC has fought with them on many an occasion, the last being the Cricket World Cup, where SABC was only really allowed to broadcast a certain number of the World Cup games. And a lot of people were confused by that and angry with that, specifically because SuperSport owned the rights for it. And, you know, those without SuperSport, those without DStv couldn't watch it. So that's pretty much how to hang on to the market by holding back on that sports content. But someone will have to take it up with the cast at some point.
Okay, I think we should probably take a break there. We'll be back right after these messages.
The Vox Superphone and your ADSL line go together like taxis and rush hour. Ah! But we do give a hoot. Now you can use your ADSL for more than just surfing. With the Superphone, you can call any phone, anywhere, using your ADSL line. You save money, earn rebates, and box-to-box calls are free. No contracts, just plug and play. Your ADSL and the Vox Superphone. It's the perfect combination. Make the most of your ADSL. Visit voxsuperphone.co.za.
After the advent of the telephone, it took mankind 70 years to invent the color television. And yet, it only took the next 23 years to invent lasers, the internet, to put a man on the moon. Ignition sequence start. It begs the question, what will the business world be like in the next 23 years? Wherever your business is at, Telkom Business will be there with you. Telkom Business.
Virtual Access, ECN's latest cost-saving telecom service. Virtual Access is a single 0860 number, providing your customers with national access to your company, no matter how many branches you have or where your customers are calling from. If you are currently using or plan to use an 0860 number, you need to talk to ECN. Virtual Access is the best price single national number offering in the market. For more, visit ecntelecoms.com. ECN, lowering the cost of doing business.
Welcome back to Talk Central, the business technology podcast brought to you by the editors at techcentral.co.za. I'm Duncan McLeod. I'm here with Candace Jones. So Candace, MTN, I had an interview with Carl Pienaar, the South African MD, yesterday, and quite an interesting discussion, very wide-ranging discussion. But one of the interesting things that came out of it was their plans to build an LTE network this year in Gauteng, 100 base stations. LTE, of course, is the next generation of mobile broadband technology, still in its infancy. But it's promising, you know, over time to produce the most incredible speeds, access speeds on their network.
Well, the exciting thing is that MTN joins one of a handful of operators around the world trialing an LTE network. And that's very exciting. And definitely the first thing I thought when I read the piece that you wrote on the LTE network was game is on in telecoms right now in South Africa. And it's very exciting to see that this new generation of technology is being implemented in South Africa as one of the earliest adopters of it.
Mm. I mean, Vodacom's also running an LTE test network, although they're not saying how big that test network is at this stage. I think it's suspected it may just involve the area around their campus in Midrand. But MTN has certainly been quite aggressive here, talking about rolling out 100 base stations in the 1.8 gigahertz frequency band. And they're really talking up the need for more spectrum to get access to the digital dividend spectrum. In fact, Carl Pienaar said, I think partly in jest, during my interview, that he's happy to go and help the broadcasters get a move on with their migration from analog to digital terrestrial television so that the telecommunications operators can start to use it.
Well, if anybody knows how to use spectrum, it's definitely the telecoms operators. And I think that they've been exceptionally efficient with the spectrum that they've been given. Which is something that Ecosa needs to take into account when divvying out the digital dividend at the end of the day. But I don't think that that the mobile operators will get their hands on that spectrum before the end of 2013.
Yeah, I mean, you talk privately to the broadcasters, and they say this isn't going to happen before 2016, 2017. But I don't know. It's not. The broadcasters have no real incentive to hurry the process along. The telecommunications operators, on the other hand, are desperate to get access to the spectrum.
That's true. It would be interesting to see if government really does push for incentives for broadcasters to hurry up.
Yeah. Yeah, they may have to, rather than the carrot approach, they may have to use a big stick on these guys at some point.
Well, the carrot at the moment is that Centec has been given a budget to broadcast the digital stuff for free. For the broadcasters, so effectively they're not paying Centec twice for the broadcasts in analog and in digital. They're only paying for the analog spectrum so far.
Is that an incentive? That sounds like a disincentive to me.
So right now, but that money's not going to last forever, and government's not going to keep plowing money into Centec to broadcast for free. So they're going to have to start thinking about that migration at some point.
Yeah, for sure. MTN also released their subscriber numbers today. Pretty flat, I thought, up slightly. What, about 4% for group? Now 147, I mean, it's an amazing number, 147 million subscribers. It's just...
Well, up from 141 million. It's just mind-boggling how many subscribers.
How big it is.
How do you manage that many people and get them to pay you? I don't know how many other people across the world can say that they have 141 million customers.
I remember a while ago, it's been at least a year since I looked, but I'd say a year to 18 months ago, I was looking at China Mobile, And at that time, they had 400 million subscribers on network in one country. It's probably 600 million by now.
That's just scary.
It's amazing. That's amazing
just,
size.
That's just scary. But South Africa was a bit lackluster, only up 1.9%.
It's a mature market. I'm waiting to see. Cell C is supposed to be publishing their numbers soon. I'm quite keen to see if all their aggressive marketing and their new network has had any real impact on their subscriber base. And of course, the Telkom ETA numbers are due out next month. Just talking to operators and talking to them about the sort of off-net on-net call movements between ETA and their networks. They're saying they're not seeing much at all.
Well, I'll be interesting to see the official figures, but I wouldn't be surprised if they're not seeing much.
Mm.
It is still very fledgling, and they, you know, and Cell C, I would be more interested to see, because I think that at the moment they've pushed really hard in terms of their marketing.
Yeah.
So whether or not that's paid off will be a very telling space for Cell C.
Yeah, for sure. As you say, Candice, the whole market is just getting incredibly competitive, and I think it's evidenced by this Trevor Noah Cell C versus Vodacom Red marketing campaign. But we're also seeing in other areas, MTN hasn't been throwing mud around on the marketing side, but they're certainly spending a lot of money on the CapEx side to build out network, as are the other guys. I mean, it's not that MTN is specifically spending more than Cell C and Vodacom and Telkom, but the fact that we now have two LTE trial networks in the country is I think speaks to the competition that's out there.
Absolutely. I think Telkom will need to when we see Telkom's results, we'll be able to see the numbers, but I think they will need to push a lot heavier in the marketing, and it looks to me like they've sort of lost traction with their marketing campaign. I mean, I haven't seen a Telkom TV ad for quite some time for ETA, and
I still see a few billboards around, but you're right, there's not much.
I think that they've pulled back on that a little in terms of the spend, and maybe plowing that into other areas of the business. But they really need to up their profile if they're going to compete.
I think longer term, the Telkom's mobile division is more going to be a story about business services and convergence in the business market, and providing bundles of data, lease lines, and mobile to subscribers and discounted rates. And I mean, they're doing that to some extent on the consumer side with ETA and free calls to a designated number, for example, for some subscribers on some of their packages, and that sort of thing. But I think the real value proposition for Telkom is in the business market.
I think you're right about that, and they'll definitely have the advantage in terms of bundling with the only landline provider. But that might actually change, because there's a lot of convergence happening now, and VoIP solutions are taking quite a lot of the market now too. So perhaps Telkom might be looking at that as another possible option in their business space. So
yeah. Okay, just lastly, I wanted to just touch on this announcement from Intel a couple of days ago. They have quite an interesting announcement. They're claiming it's the biggest chip breakthrough in chip technology in the last 50 years. It sounds like a bit of marketing to me, but it's certainly interesting stuff. They're basically, and I'm not going to claim it all, I understand the stuff, but they're basically building what do they call tri-gate transistors. They're using the term three-dimensional transistors to describe the technology that they've created here. But it's really, they really seem to be having a real go now at claiming some market share in the tablet and smartphone market, where they've really been weak, where chip designs from the British ARM group, ARM Holdings, have really taken hold. They've really struggled to get their chips into smartphones. Do you think this is going to revive Intel's fortunes in that regard?
Well, I can't promise that it will, but what I can say is that the chip design is exceptionally innovative, and it's gone far and beyond the traditional chip design the transistor design that's come through the market before, and literally it triples the possible current that you can run through a transistor. And if you know anything about transistors, you know that current equates to the faster the current, the more current that you can push through any transistor, it equates to faster speeds or more efficient speeds for chipsets. So this kind of thing, with the innovation that is provided into it, can really boost the speeds of chips on small devices, on handheld devices. Fantastic. I think it's a really great innovation. And whether or not they market it well and get you know, the market to agree with them in terms of the innovation, then yes, they'll do very well in that market. But if they can't do that, then no, they won't, because Arm is literally the leader.
I saw Arm took a huge hit on its share price after the Intel announcement, so clearly the analysts are looking at this. Don't think it's good news for Arm.
Well, Intel has been exceptionally strong in every other aspect of development, chip design. So, you know, being in the smartphone race is very important for Intel, and Arm has dominated, or Arm designs have dominated that space. Mm. So if it really punts this chip design properly and puts the marketing power behind it that it requires, it could really blow Arm out the water.
What interests me is that you know, there was talk that Moore's, the famous Moore's law, which I think Gordon Moore came up with in 1956 or 58, and has held true ever since. You know, that there was talk that Moore's law could actually fail in 10 years or so, but this new invention, this Tri-Gate chips, now means that there's no foreseeable end to Moore's law. So the computing power is just going to get better and better and better at the same price points.
It looks that way. Especially if other developers start taking up this design, because I think it's that innovative that people could look at it and go, okay, great, what else can we do? Can we make it 4 sides? Do we have to only make it 3 sides? You know, and push the development of chip design.
Mm.
And it's about time, because it's really sort of the only thing that's really changed in chip development is that they get smaller and smaller and smaller.
Mm.
And you can put more and more transistors onto the same size space. And
yeah, so it's really amazing how many transistors they pack into these bloody things these days. I remember going to Intel. Oh, God, it must have been about 10 years ago now, probably a bit more. I went to their headquarters in San Jose, I think it was, in California, and went to the Intel Museum, which is at the entrance to their sprawling office park there. And just walking around the room looking at the chips. And I looked at the, I'm going to get this slightly wrong, but I was looking at the 286 and the 386 and the 486 and the 486 DX266 and like all the chips there going along. And then it went from the Pentium to the Pentium Pro, I think it was.
I think so, yes.
It was either the Pentium Pro. Yeah, I think it was from the Pentium to the Pentium Pro. It was from the Pentium Pro to the Pentium 2, one of those two. Walking along, and these chips were shiny and colorful and bright, and it's like, wow, this looks so cool. And you get to the Pentium Pro and it's dull. And after that, all the chips are dull, and it's like, why are all these chips all bright and colorful and these chips after this are all dull? Any guesses why?
No.
The space between the transistors got to the point where a wavelength of light couldn't get between the transistors. So it you know, previously the wavelength of light could go in and bounce back and it created this colorful effect, but the transistors after the Pentium Pro were packed in so tight that a wavelength of light couldn't get into them.
Wow. Well, they're looking at transistors now that are the size literally of a blood cell. Which is quite scarily small.
Yes. There's a great video on our site, if you haven't seen it, with the story on Intel, a video produced by Intel, where they pretend to shrink down the Intel executive onto the surface of this chip, and there's a big blood cell sitting there and a transistor sitting next to him. And
a human hair at one point.
Yeah. But it's incredible. I mean, the new chipsets, which they're going to be producing based on the Sandy Bridge technology, I think it's called.
Yes.
No, not Sandy Bridge. It's Ivy Bridge. Sandy Bridge
one, not the one that's just been released.
Yeah, it uses something called, it uses 22 nanometer technology. Now, a nanometer is 1/1,000,000th of a meter. So there's 22/1,000,000,000th of a meter between these transistors. It's quite remarkable. And they're already seeing a roadmap to 2015 where they're going to shrink the die size down to, I think that's the correct term, shrink the die size down to 10 nanometers from 22 now.
Yo. I would never have thought that it was possible. I think there was one big issue that they had in shrinking down these things is that when the transistors get too close together, there's actually electrical interference or radio interference between them. And that was one of the problems that they were having in with Moore's law, and expecting that Moore's law would crash because of that specific problem.
Mm.
Obviously, this 3D design changes a lot of that. So.
Yeah, Moore's law is going to continue for the foreseeable future, and that means we just get to get the most incredible. I mean, just imagine the sort of device that's going to be in your pocket 10 years from now.
Do you think we actually need more powerful devices?
I'm sure they were saying that 10 years ago.
I don't know. I mean, what more could you push onto your device that you don't have already?
Well, I don't know. I mean, gaming is an obvious one that needs more and more processing power. But
that's only because of the silly developers that make the games.
But you know, HD, being able to throw the stuff up onto ultra HD screens, being able to holographic technology. I'm sure holographic phones are around the corner. I think it's the limit is human imagination, really. The amount of innovation, because of the competition that's in the mobile space, is just driving the most incredible new designs every year. I mean, I look at my HTC Desire, which I thought was the most brilliant smartphone a year ago, and it looks dated compared to some of the new devices that are coming.
I think someone once told me, we overestimate what will happen in technology in 5 years and underestimate what will happen in 10. So perhaps I have absolutely no idea, not enough imagination maybe, to figure out what will happen in 10 years time.
Yeah, I mean, what 10 years ago, what were we using? We were probably using like Nokia 2110s and the idea of accessing the internet on your cell phone was completely foreign.
It was foreign.
There was no Facebook, there was no Twitter, there was no social media.
Too true.
All we did with our phones was send text messages and make calls.
I think 10 years before that even.
10 years before that, there were no cell phones. Well, there were cell phones, but there were no cell phone networks. Not in South Africa, anyway.
That's scary. Scary how quickly things have changed.
Yeah, indeed.
I wonder what my parents must think about the world right now.
My parents love it, actually. My mom's running a blog and
she's... My dad is about as computer literate as turning the machine on, and only if the PowerPoint has been plugged in and turned on before he gets there, because otherwise that's baffling to him. And opening cards and playing cards, closing it,
solitaire.
Down. Yes, okay. that's it. That's the extent of his computer knowledge. My mom, on the other hand, is much better.
Well, that's what most corporate office workers do all day long anyway. Just their place with a solitaire and Minesweeper. So.
He used to be the financial director of a business. The entire time that he was the financial director, he used an old school calculator, which had a little printer on the end that printed out his things on what looked like receipts. So he did all his computing on that little device.
Amazing. All right, on that note, I think it's time to sign off, and we will see you next week. We'll have Craig Wilson in the studio next week, so three of us. We'll see you then, and if we almost always forget this at the end, if you've got any feedback, drop us a mail at info@techcentral.co.za, or you can just leave a comment at the bottom of this entry on the website. Until next Friday, have a great weekend, and we'll see you then. Cheers, bye.